how the enemy is attacking the foundation of our faith, and one specific way that our enemy is doing that is through attacking the creation account as it's given to us in the book of Genesis, and introducing another way of looking at creation, and that way would be evolution. And so that's one way that the attack is happening on the foundation of our faith. And as we concluded last week, we were looking at those days that are listed there in Genesis chapter 1. And let me just say this. I believe that those 6 days of creation are probably just 6 days of creation. I don't think they are necessarily 1,000 years. I don't think they are millions of years. I think they're probably 6 days as they're listed there in those verses. Now, that's not to say I think that the earth is 6,000 years old. I don't. You may. That's okay. And we can disagree on that. That's not a big thing. But I think as it's listed there, I think those are probably 6 days. And just jumping right in there, and let's verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I asked the question last week, where did the water come from? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Water shows up here now. Where did the water come from? It was created at some point. Well, it's not told to us here in this account where or when the water was created. And yet it was created. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Where was the water? Where was the light? God said, let there be light. Tell you what, you can find Genesis pretty easy so you don't have to hold it. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that what? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, isn't he? There's no darkness in him. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read it last week, he dwelleth in a light that no man can approach unto. Where was the light? Where was God? Would be the question. Where's my pencil here? Or my pen? We drew up here on the board last week. You have the earth. And there was water everywhere. He divided the waters. He put a firmament. And then there was water above the firmament. And there was water below the firmament. He gathered that water here on the earth. And he called them seas. And there was dry land that appeared. Okay? So there's your earth. Firmament is just an expanse. Is what it is. It's a great expanse. And so it divided the waters is what it did. I've got that as a firmament, but that is actually would be the boundary of the water. The firmament would be what is in here. The empty space, in other words. That's the firmament. And the firmament he put in there, he called it heaven. Okay? So you've got heaven here. Well, the earth has an atmosphere. Look in, told you not to hold Genesis. Look back in Genesis again, Genesis chapter 1 again. In in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Okay? This is also heaven. That the birds don't fly out there. That's what we call outer space. You've got the stars and the planets that are out here. That's a different heaven. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, and he's talking about himself here. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. So you have the first heaven, you have the second heaven, then you have a third heaven. And I would put the third heaven somewhere on the other side of that water. But look at this now. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, talking about the Lord. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So you have the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, and then you've got some place called far above all heavens. I have no idea where that's at, but that's where the Lord went, and it's out there somewhere. Now, when you ask the question, where was God? I would say God was way out here somewhere. This was a concealed space. It was dark. There was no light. Something had happened that caused no light, no life, nothing to be existing in there at that time. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth. Something happens, it's without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God begins to move upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. He is light, and in Him there is no darkness, 1 John 1:5 says. Where was God? He was out there. And yet here there was no light. That's how it was able to happen. Had God just been bebopping around in there, there would have been light, because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. So that tells me then that all of this was consumed in darkness. Paul was called up to the third heaven. Where was Paul called to? Look in Job chapter 1, and this is my belief, and you know, you're entitled to yours. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1 and verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from, Satan? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. You see, Satan, along with the sons of God, went to present themselves to the Lord somewhere. Where did they go? I would imagine it's probably that place that Paul went to. up there to the third heaven, out of this universe, where God came down. In fact, look in the two more passages, and then we'll get back to Genesis. Psalms chapter 48. Psalms 48. Psalms 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. And that mountain of His holiness is not here on this earth. I'll show you in just a minute. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. The Mount Zion, the mountain of His holiness, the sides of the north. It's not a place here on this earth. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Where's he going? Going into heaven, isn't he? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount. There's that mountain of the congregation. Where? In the sides of the north. The mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where Satan wanted to go. That's where God is at. And I have no idea where that is. It's out there somewhere in the sides of the north. It's the mount of the congregation. It's where God's throne is. It's where Satan wanted to exalt his throne. So you have the first heaven where the birds fly here. You have the second heaven, out there where the astronauts want to go to visit Mars, Mercury, Venus, all these planets. Then you have the third heaven up here where Paul was called to, where he's seen things he couldn't utter. And then you have far above all heavens, and I would say that's up there in the sides of the north, and that's where God dwells. That's why He could be there where there is light and the things down here could be in darkness. Back in Genesis. Now the first day, pure and simple, let there be light. And He divided it between day and night. The second day, He put the firmament in. And He called it heaven. The third day, the earth, when He gathered the waters and the seas, the vegetation. The fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's where we ended up last week with the creation. Fifth day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So on the fifth day, I'm just going to put it as fish and fowl. Then you have the sixth day. Verse 24, And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness. And they had the dominion. And you skip down to verse 31. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So the sixth day, you've got the creeping things. You got the beasts of the earth, and then you have man. And that is the creation as it is listed in the book of Genesis. And that's where we are today. Now, the theistic evolutionists will tell you that's evolution. That's how God got man here. You see, he started with fish to fowl to creeping things to beast to man. There's your process of evolution. And they will grab onto those verses, like verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And they say, aha, the water brought forth abundantly life. No, the water brought forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And it's still doing that today. We fish the oceans. We fish the lakes, we fish the streams, and we take them out of there at a massive rate to feed the population of the earth. But you know what happens? It sustains the life. It continues to multiply and bring forth abundantly more fish, more fish. You go in there, you take them out, they have more. It brings them forth abundantly. But that's not the point. The point is, in verse 21, and God created, you see, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, those next three words, after their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. Over and over he says that, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. Over and over and over, God put in his word those three words, after his kind, to make it with, so that there is no way anybody should have any doubt as to how God did it. After his kind. God didn't make a fish to make a man. You understand? He made a fish to make another fish. He made the beast of the earth to make another beast of the earth. He created man and woman and put them on this earth to create and make more men and women. After their kind. So don't buy into the theistic evolution argument that this is how God got to man. From fish to fowl to creeping thing to beast to man. No. After their kind. Everyone. Look at whole Genesis there and look back with me in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll tell you what, you don't have to hold Genesis. Where the time's at, we probably won't get back to it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice that Paul here is talking about in verse 35, 6, 7 in there about death and how that we die in a natural body and they put that natural body in the ground. But we are going to be raised up a spiritual body. So the body that's planted is not the body that is resurrected. We're going to be a spiritual body someday. It goes on to say in verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Well, looky there. Man, beasts, fish, and fowl. Matches right up with the Genesis creation account. What Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15. You want to know the kinds? There you go. That's the kinds of flesh. Carlos LeMay, who was the taxonomy guy, you know, we had to memorize that in school. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus, species, maybe something along those lines. God said this, you know, back in Genesis, 6,000 years ago. Man come along and said, well, because there are certain characteristics that are the same, we're related. We're mammals. Whales are mammals. Bats are mammals. And I was talking to Seth the other night. We were talking about this. I said, you take a bat, and you take a man, and you take a whale. You put them in a C-130 cargo plane. Get a couple of hundred feet up off the air and shove all three out. Which one's going to survive? The bat, the whale, or the man? The bat's going to fly, isn't it? Why? It was designed to fly in the heavens. You take a whale, a man, and a bat, put them in a submarine, go down about 100 feet, shove them out. Who's going to survive? The whale, because that's their habitat. Man is going to thrive walking around on the earth. We're not the same. We're different kinds. God made us that way. Man has said, well, because we've got warm blood and they do, that we must be the same. No. Man can say whatever he wants. God said, this is the way it is. And that's the way it is. Don't buy into their argument. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. Is it science or is it faith? Do you know what the scientific method is? They taught us that in school. How many of you remember way back then? Yeah. Experimentation and what? Observation. That's the scientific method. You experiment, you observe. Can you go back 2 million, 3 million years and observe what happened? You can't, can you? You can't create life in a petri dish the way they said they did. Didn't happen. They used elements that were already there. You cannot experiment by creating life and watching it evolve. You cannot do it. So it has to be faith. They have to believe it. And I went through this with, you know, me and Seth talk about this kind of stuff a lot. And I said, I had a conversation with a guy one time, and it was about faith and evolution. I said, I believe what this book says. And, you know, I asked him, what do you believe? Well, I believe in evolution, okay. Why do you believe in evolution? Well, because the science proves it, okay. Where do you get this science from? Well, the scientists, you know, they've researched. Okay, so you're listening to what the scientists say, right? Okay. Where did they get it from? Well, I guess they got it from other scientists. Okay. Well, where did they get it from? Well, I mean, did they observe it? Any of them observe the... No, they didn't, did they? They come up with a theory. They read it in a book. They sold the book. And people bought it. They put their faith in a book. Same as you and me. We put our faith in this book. This book is our faith. King James Bible. What we know about God, we find in this book. What they know about evolution, they find in a book. Nobody observed it. Nobody can experiment and do it. It's faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, we come to God by faith, and we believe that He is. They don't. They, by faith, believe evolution. And that's what it is. It's faith, not fact. they yell science, science, trying to intimidate us. And they cite things like the fossil records to try and intimidate us. When there is no transitional fossil ever been found. I don't care what they say, there has never been a transitional fossil been found. They like to claim that there has been. They go back, you know, I remember in school, we watched a movie called Inherit the Wind. Anybody ever seen that? Did you ever watch that in school? We did. It was about this. It was an adaptation of a play that had been written, which was an adaptation of the Scopes Monkey Trial that happened in Tennessee when the professor or the teacher there at that high school, Scopes, was teaching evolution, which was against Tennessee state law, and he was taken to court. Williams Jennings Bryant prosecuting, and Clarence Darrow was the defender, and. The thing that came to pass out of this was Nebraska Man, the fossil evidence. They found a fossil in the state of Nebraska, Jennings Bryant's home state, supposedly of a race of apes that lived here in America and from which we descended. A magazine in London ran with the story, had an illustrator create an entire race of people, and they had it on the cover of the magazine, and it was going all around the world. This is the missing link. One fossil that they found became the missing link in 1922. You know what it was? It was a tooth of an extinct species of pig, and yet they took that and made it to be the missing link. Don't believe the fossils, folks. They will lie to you over and over and over again. Piltdown Man was in Sussex, England, in a rock quarry found. And I think it was 1912. For 40-some years, here's the missing link. Come to find out it was a hoax. Somebody had taken a skeleton of an ape that was 15, 20 years old and dyed the bones and filed the teeth down to make it look like something it wasn't. But for 40-some years, it was taught that this was the missing link. That's the fossil evidence. You have the one now they call Lucy that they found in Africa. She's bipedal, walks upright, knee joint. The most complete skeleton they've ever found, and it's not even 40% of a skeleton. And one of the guys that was there and they found it said the skull was in so many fragments that they had to just basically make a plaster of the head. There was not enough skull fragments there. But yet Lucy is the missing link because she walked upright. And that knee joint was found a mile away, 200 feet deeper in the strata. And yet that's the knee joint that goes with it. That's the fossil evidence that they cite. Why? Because it's a hoax. There's no fact to it, folks. It is a hoax. There is no fossil evidence to support their theories. Let me just read you something that the father of evolution said, Charles Darwin, and we'll close with this because my time is gone. This is his own words. Why, if species have descended from other species by fine gradations, do we not elsewhere see innumerable transitional forms? Why is not all nature in confusion instead of the species being as we see them well defined? But as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed, why do we not find them then embedded in countless numbers in the crust of the earth? Why then is not every geological formation and every stratum full of such intermediate links? Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely gradiated organic chain, and this, perhaps, is the most obvious and serious objection which can be urged against my theory. Darwin himself said they're not there. He said in another place, we should be tripping over transitional fossils. They're not there. Darwinism predicts that the vast amounts of change should be recorded in the fossil record. Biblical creation predicts that the fossil record should not be in transition. These are very two different predictions. What do the facts show us? Facts show us the biblical account of creation. You can't find the transitional fossils because they don't exist. God created everything after its kind. That's how He created it. That's where man came from. Not from a monkey. Not from a fish. So don't buy into it. Now, Lord willing, in August, whenever we start back, I want to begin to look at some more things about this. The dinosaurs. Where do they come up? In fact, let me give you one. Let me give you just two verses and then I'll close. Look in Titus chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter 3. Take those two passages and then we'll close. Titus chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Question. Who did God promise eternal life to before the world began? He promised it to somebody, didn't He? 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The heavens were of old. Huh. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let me ask you something about that. The heavens and the earth that are now. What about that verse discounts that this specific passage here is talking about Noah's flood? What do you find in those verses that I just read you there that prove that this is not talking about Noah's flood? It's talking about another event. There you go. That's something you can work on till August, all right? You can take a break.